Dachau Military School Class of 1963. We're about to hear from Richard Meltzer. He's been a teacher, tutor, a school administrator, a camp counselor, a camp director, a bartender, a carnival worker, none of which, he says, has led to early retirement. Richard is currently in his 35th year as an educator, and he's serving as director of the Baltimore Lab School. Please welcome Richard Meltzer.
In the spring of 1959, in a small town in southern Ohio called Portsmouth, lived the Meltzer family. Son Richard, age 15, and his mother and father. Richard had one and only one goal in life, and that was to attend Portsmouth High School, play sports, get a car, get a girlfriend, and go to the drive-in. Unfortunately, in 1959, the Russians launched a series of satellites. It also somehow disturbed my parents because they suddenly felt that Portsmouth High School was not the proper place for me, that I deserved a better education. So, in the fall of 1959, I am whisked off to Hebron Academy in Hebron, Maine, founded in 1803, a private school for young males whose goal is to go Ivy League. I wore a sports jacket, tweed from Brooks Brothers, khakis, Basswegians with the pennies in them, and a ubiquitous slide rule, which began in my inside breast pocket and extended out into my chest, which somehow resembled a phallus with numbers on it. To this day, I still have no idea how the damn thing works. During this time, this fall, I was doing okay in school. I noticed that the letters from my father, the handwriting began to change, and my mother called and said that my dad, you know, wasn't feeling well. I go home at Christmas time, the Christmas break, and I discover that he is seriously ill. I ask my mom, geez, I think you need me here. I don't want to go back to Hebron Academy. Let me just, you know, go back and return to high school. No, you need to go back. That's your father's and my wish. So I go back. The end of February, actually February 26, 1960, I'm called over to the headmaster's office. The giant man with a bald head, glasses, always seemed to wear camel hair jackets and this really ugly bow tie. He always smoked a pipe. He sits me down and tells me that my father had died. The smoke from the pipe just somehow, like a giant metaphor, just kind of goes into my lungs, and I just become numb. So I leave, go back to Ohio, attend the funeral, once again decide, aha, let me ask if I can go back to Portsmouth High School. The answer from my mother is no, and you know it was your father's wish for you to, you know, do well at Hebron and go on and do all these different things. I now go back, and I have a plan. I'm going to get myself kicked out. Let me tell you what happens. I didn't do any homework. I didn't study. I failed every test I possibly could. And all I got from the teachers was empathy. The last thing that I wanted. I wanted Fs. I couldn't get an F to save my ass. They thought they labeled me fragile. Today I'd have been labeled emotionally disturbed, but I guess fragile, being in special ed, emotionally disturbed isn't a good label. Fragile is much better. Anyhow, I end up with all these D minuses, and I'm invited back. My plan is blown up. So I return for my junior year. Now I'm smarter. It's guerrilla warfare. The state of Maine Department of Motor Vehicles at that time, you could write to them and they would send you blank driver's licenses. Don't ask me why. I had a whole pack of them. Prior to the Kennedy half dollars, they had the Liberty had 50 cent pieces, which they basically had the same kind of logo as the state of Maine symbol. So you just take that, you take a piece of paper, take a hammer, we'd sell them for $5 a piece. It was great. We also were able to dig a hole in our closet in our dorm room. We were able to crawl across and go down and drop in all the different teacher apartments you know, take their food and move all the furniture around. Not only could I not get F's, I still couldn't get caught. No one ever worked so hard to try to get to public high school like I did. One night, we break into the kitchen, into the school walk-in. You know what walk-ins are? They're big, giant refrigerators with a big wooden door. And we're in there. There are four of us, and we're eating cold chicken croquettes and chocolate pudding with our hands. Because God forbid you'd want to bring utensils when you've broken into a big refrigerator. Anyhow, I see a flashlight, and suddenly my three friends disappear. And a night watchman comes in, and I go, next thing I know, in my most violent moment of my life, there is this frying pan-like thing. I pick it up, and I swing, and I hit him with it. And his last word, not his last word ever, he did... He did recover to testify against me, actually. But his last word as he fell was Meltzer. So, the next morning I'm back in the headmaster's office. Same outfit, he's got the camel hair, the ugly bow tie and everything else. Same pipe, same smoke, but the smoke this time was going back in his face because I had been expelled. I was so happy. Then we had to call home to my mom. This was a part of the plan I really hadn't figured out. So she's hysterical. I think she's wrapped the telephone cord around her body or something. I'm not sure what. But I try to say, now can I go back to high school? And she says, no way. So you do what any wise 16-year-old would do then. You know, the winter time in Maine. You pack a little bag with what you have, and then you head on down the road. And somebody picked me up. I took a bus to New York City and lived kind of, the current word is homeless. I would like to say I learned the New York subway system for a while. Turned myself into my grandmother later on after about 2 months, and then was given the choice whether to attend military school or the U.S. Marines. I chose military school, and that is a whole different story, but I'll save that. I just want to end by saying I think through all these different experiences and ultimately the chances that I got and, you know, the education that it's led me to what I do now in giving kids, especially kids with learning disabilities, second, third, and even fourth chances. Thank you for listening.
Richard Meltzer.